In Genesis 32, God picks a fight with Jacob in the middle of the night. Wait, what? Does God really do that kind of thing? Hey, this is Cherie at Bible Project. In today's episode, we're reflecting on Jacob's wrestling match with God. It's this bizarre story that can teach us a lot about ourselves and the faithfulness of God. Listen in.
Hey, everybody. This is Tim Mackey at Bible Project. And for this week's Bible study, we are entering a whole new chapter and movement of the biblical story. Genesis 1 through 11 showed us how God appointed humans as his divine image that would represent God's rule over the world, but the humans commit folly and violence at every step. And it leads up to the ultimate rebellion in the story of Babylon. And so when God scatters Babylon, the story reboots. God starts over, so to speak, with a new Adam and Eve that are named Abram and Sarai, later called Abraham and Sarah. And so what God promises is that that blessing that he gave to the humans in Genesis 1 and 2, God still is on a mission to give that blessing to all of the nations. But now it's going to be in this special way through one particular family, the family that comes from Abraham and Sarah. And so this forms the drama of Genesis 12 through 50. It traces the story of four generations starting with Abraham. And it's all about how and if Abraham's family will become a faithful vehicle of God's blessing to the nations. And as you might have figured out about humans in this story, up to this point, Abraham and Sarah are no different. They do just an okay job. Abraham ends up spreading about as much pain and conflict around his community as he does spread God's blessing. And so by the time we get to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, we have a pretty dim view of this family's success. Jacob is born making a power grab, seizing the heel of his brother, and that's actually what earns him his name. Yaakov, his name in Hebrew, comes from the fact that he's born grabbing the akav of his brother, the heel. And that heel grab is actually just a sign of things to come. Jacob grows up, and with his mom's encouragement, he actually usurps his older brother, and he takes both his brother Esau's right as the firstborn, and he steals God's blessing for himself by stealing from his old blind father. So Jacob actually represents a new low in the story of human nature in Genesis. So here we have the chosen recipient of God's many gifts, the gifts of life and breath, the gifts of being among the family God has chosen. But what does our chosen blessed one do? But he sets out to try and steal the very things that God had planned on giving him in the first place. Such an epic and ironic portrait. And so this begins Jacob's long story of self-inflicted suffering. His selfish acts are all aimed at getting as much of God's blessing as he can. And what God allows to happen to Jacob is for him to just sit in the messes of his own making. So after cheating his brother, he ends up meeting his match in his uncle Laban, who ends up swindling the swindler Jacob. It's this great turn of events. Laban steals 20 years out of Jacob's life and productivity. And then Jacob himself swindles the swindler who swindled him. Even though God appears to Jacob, promises to protect him, to prosper him, Jacob always hedges his bets. And so Jacob rigs the mating season of he and Laban's flocks so that his uncle's flocks diminish and Jacob's own flocks get big and strong. And then Jacob sneaks away in the night with his new family and all of his possessions, hoping that Laban won't notice. But once he escapes, it's out of the frying pan, into the fire, because who's there to meet the return of this exile but Esau, his older brother, along with 400 men. So Jacob freaks out, and we're finally to Genesis 32, which we've invited you to give a little extra special pondering and meditation this week. In this story, Jacob is preparing to meet his brother, and even though God clearly said that he would protect Jacob, he always hedges his bets. And so he arranges all of these gifts and animals and offerings to buy forgiveness from his brother. Once again, Jacob won't let God give him the gifts and the blessing and protection that Jacob actually wants, but only by his own schemes. And so the night before meeting Esau, you get the strange story of Jacob wrestling with the mysterious man. The story is amazing. First of all, this man is certainly the angel of the Lord, who has appeared as a man to many people many times in the book of Genesis. But for Jacob, this angel appears in a new role, that of the professional wrestler. So the story is actually powerfully summarizing Jacob's whole story. So here is our chosen one, chosen from birth to receive God's blessing. But Jacob lives and operates as if everything depends on his own scheming and wisdom and skills. And Jacob, we have learned, is able to sacrifice anyone to get what he wants. And so what's powerful in this story is that God doesn't abandon this Jacob, even though he deserves it. God doesn't just go and choose somebody else. Instead, what God does is commit himself even more to this corrupt Jacob. And so what that compels God to do is to pick a fight with his chosen one. It's as if God comes down to Jacob's level and speaks his language, the language of wily maneuvering and tricky wrestling moves. It's as if God realizes that his chosen one is so obstinate, there's only one option left: to wound him. The man strikes Jacob between the legs. And it's precisely this wound that finally makes Jacob receptive to the blessing that he didn't create for himself. It's as if his suffering is what finally opens him to receive the genuine gift of God's blessing. So there's a lot going on in the story, more than we can explore here. But just notice that this is the story where Jacob's name is changed to Israel, and it's Israel's story that the rest of the Hebrew Bible is going to be about. It's as if this story is a prophetic parable anticipating the rest of the nation of Israel's long struggle with God. That, by the way, will also end up with exile in the East, just like Jacob's story did. And so it's only when God wounds Israel in the form of Jacob or in the form of the nation, it's only then that a faithful remnant comes back out the other side. And it's from that wounded but faithful remnant people that God raises up the ultimate Israelite, the Messiah, the New Covenant Israel, who can be the vehicle of God's blessing to the nations, finally. So this story is actually telling, in a riddle-like nutshell, the story of the whole Bible. There's so much to ponder here. Let me just conclude with two thoughts. First of all, let's ponder the character of God in this story. God is so committed to his promise that he will chase his people with severe mercy to get them to receive the gift of his blessing. This is not a comfortable portrait of God, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. This is a part of God's character that we have to wrestle with, because it's the way that many of us still experience God's blessing and mercy and severity still today. Notice also the character of Jacob. He's a human who's bent on creating his own security and blessing. He's willing to neglect or shortchange other people to get what he thinks he needs. And sadly, all the while, the thing that he's chasing after is the thing that God wants to give him all along. And so how should this story make us begin to question and reevaluate the things that we are chasing after in life and what role they might need to play in God's ongoing wrestling match with us? There's even more going on in the story, but that's more than enough. Let's just pause and ask God for wisdom and for courage to surrender our own schemes and to open our wounded hands to receive his blessing.
Genesis 32, 22 through 31. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "You will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip.
Okay, now let's review. God blessed Jacob from birth, but Jacob lived as if God's blessing depended on his own scheming and skills, and he's willing to sabotage anyone to get what he wants. But God did not abandon Jacob. Instead, God committed himself even more to Jacob by visiting him in person to wrestle it all out. Jacob was wounded in the struggle, but it's precisely this wound that helped Jacob finally receive God's blessing as a gift he could never acquire by himself, no matter how hard he tried. Jacob's story provides an opportunity for self-reflection. I have three questions for you to consider today. Listen closely and feel free to pause if you'd like more time. Here's our first question. What's one thing you've chased after in life? Maybe approval or love? And how have you chased after it? Okay, now consider our second question. Has God himself already given or promised the very thing you've chased after in life? Think about it. All right, now here's our last question. How has God intervened in your life to help you receive his gifts? Thanks for joining us for today's reflection. If you'd like to go deeper, visit BibleProject.com/study. You can sign up there to receive the video and all the other reflection questions that go along with today's message. In closing, let's pray. Father God, you are loyal, you're persistent, and you're faithful. Thank you for your relentless love and mercy. We admit we often fail to trust your character and strive to earn the blessings you've freely given. Thank you for sending Jesus to intervene in our lives, to help us receive your gift. May we respond with trust today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Today's show production and scripture reading was by Dan Gummel. Today's message was by Tim Mackey, show notes by Lindsay Ponder, our theme music by Grant William Harold, background music by Reuben Y. Cottingham, and I'm Shree Hayes, your host. If you enjoyed this new show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help others find the podcast. We read each and every one, and we love hearing from you. Do you want to read through the entire Bible this year? This podcast is following our one-year Bible reading plan titled, One Story That Leads to Jesus. You can find it on our website at BibleProject.com/onestory. Bible Project is a crowd-funded nonprofit located in Portland, Oregon. We provide free resources so we can all experience the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus. It's free because of the generosity of people from all around the world just like you. Thank you. Thank you.